Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Dante Marcatelli.
And welcome, everyone, to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Dante Marcatelli here with you. Aaron Berlin is our producer, and he has done yeoman's work the last couple of days, lining you all up for what should be a terrific week of Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. The All-Star Game is coming your way on Sunday, so that means NBA Legends Week here on Magic Drive Time. It was a big success last year. We had a lot of fun, had some tremendous guests on the show, and we're going to do the same thing for you this week, beginning with guest number one, Hall of Famer, one of the 50 greatest, Nate Tiny Archibald, going to join us here in about 60 seconds. Kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here, and we're going to talk basketball. He's the only player in NBA history to average, to lead the league in points per game and assists per game, and we have James Harden and Russell Westbrook in the race to potentially do that this year, so we'll get his thoughts on that and also talk about his storied 14-year career. The Magic are in action tonight in Miami, taking on the Heat, trying to bounce back after a very disappointing performance a couple of days ago in Dallas against the Mavericks. Two games left for this Magic team before the All-Star break. Reading some of the quotes and hearing some of the things that were said after the game, really hope that they're not already looking to the break. They got to finish strong, try to ride some momentum as much as possible, get some wins going into the break, and hopefully it starts tonight against the Miami Heat. And it is my pleasure to welcome in Hall of Famer, one of the 50 greatest, one of the best to ever do it. He is Nate Tiny Archibald, 14 NBA seasons, and he's kind enough to join me right now. Of course, NBA champion in 1981 with the Boston Celtics. And Nate, this is a thrill and an honor for me to get to have you on the program. I greatly appreciate your time. And how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. I wish I was down there to get some of that warm weather and sun. But let me ask you a question. When, and I know you have a new arena, when are they going to have one of these All-Star games in Orlando?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I think we apply pretty steadily every year to try to get that to come back. But I think we're going to get one in the next couple of years, and I would love nothing more than to have you down here in the Sunshine State for that.
I hope so, because what I hear, it's a beautiful place.
It sure is. It's a beautiful arena. And now, do you golf? Do you get to get out and golf? Do you like to swing the stick?
No, not really. I just, you know, it. And for the people that don't live in New York, it snowed up here, and I would like to feel some sun on these old bones.
I bet. Well, so are you getting hit? You're getting hit hard up there in the Northeast right now, too, aren't you?
Yeah, we got a little sleet the other day, but you know, I was in Florida for a while, and you know what? I kind of missed that weather. You know, I don't golf, but I did a little bicycle riding and a little jogging and just enjoying, you know, the people. It's not like New York, you know, Florida spread out, but I just kind of miss the weather. You know, when you get a little older, you kind of want your body to be warm, not all the time, but kind of feel a little warmth in the sun. And right now, all we see right now is clouds. I know the sun is up there somewhere, but there's still snow on the ground.
There still is. And Nate, speaking with Nate Tiny Archibald, great to have you on the show. You know, you've left New York a couple of times, but you always seem to make your way back there, don't you? New York will always be home for you, and maybe eventually you get to the point where you duck out for a couple of months during the winter. But New York is always home for you, won't it be?
Yeah, but I was in Port St. Lucie for about 6 months, 7 months. I enjoyed it. I used to go over to the Mets, you know, when they did their spring camp with the rookies. I saw them run, so I was really trailing behind a lot of them, because people say trailing. He wasn't running with. No, they're a little younger now. But as long as I could see them, I thought I could keep up. But I enjoyed it, you know. But I'm up in New York. I come back here and interact with the kids and, you know, run programs. I kind of have a steady diet with more of the high school kids, maybe the college kids, and people say, well, what about the pro game? I don't watch it as steady as a lot of people because I'm active with high school kids. I want them to kind of further their education and be future student athletes. You know, a lot of the guys that are pros are kind of set in their ways of what they want to do. And we're trying to mold the younger kids to think about options. You know, I had a dream when I was young to be playing, and I tell people, we know about the dream team. Well, I had a dream that I had got to play against Oscar and Wilt. I missed Russell by 1 year because he retired in 69. But then that dream became a reality. I'm not saying that dream came true, but it became a reality. But I went to the University of Texas El Paso, and I got my undergrad degree. So it was kind of like twofold. You play a little bit, you know, you get your degree, and then it's not rolling the dice. You give yourself a chance. Somebody, hopefully, you know, Bob Cousy was my first coach. He gave me a chance, okay, when nobody else thought that this skinny New York kid, 5'11", 6", whatever they height they put me, whatever weight they put on me, they didn't think that I could excel in the NBA game. I tell kids now, and I think that's why a lot of kids are looking at, and, you know, I don't want to put anybody down because he's the best player on the planet, LeBron James. There's not going to be that many LeBron Jameses in the next 10 years. Okay,
right.
A lot of kids are, and it's not a deferment, a lot of kids are looking at people of size, okay? And that's why I say I love Steph Curry, the way he, his mannerism, the way he plays, the way he excelled in his game. I said, you know, I always kind of question kids. I said, do you know what college he went to? Kids were saying, no. I said, he went to Davis.
Wow.
Okay, and I said he had guys, okay, that handled the ball more than he did. I didn't say better, more than he did. So he deferred to those guys, but he could always shoot the ball. I said now you see him in a different light with a different
team.
That's right. Okay, I said his ball handling is off the charts. His vision, people talk about peripheral and stuff. That's only with a point guard. No, that's with a guy who has the ball in his hands that can make other things happen, more importantly, for his team. So his craft is, and I said, when the camera is on, when guys are shooting, you know, they're doing their pregame ritual and stuff like that, you ever see him do the two ball and stuff? Yeah, I can't do that. I said, he practiced that. He probably
right.
couldn't do that in the beginning, but they say practice makes perfect, and I said it's a mindset, okay? He's programming his brain that I got to get my hands ready, I got to get my body ready, and I got to go out and get ready to compete. And I said that's how some of us prepared ourselves. And with the AAU programs now, the competition is there. And a lot of times kids think, well, you know, from New York, Chicago, we play the best basketball. Hey, I tell them, I had a rude awakening when I went to Texas El Paso. I roomed with a guy from Ames, Iowa, Dick Gibbs. Okay? And, wait a minute, it gets better. I was 2 years in front of Dick because he went to, you know, junior college. He was a junior college All-American. We became teammates at Kansas City. And people
said, how
do y'all become teammates? I said, he got drafted. Okay? So,
yeah.
I mean, it's basketball, people think it's big. And it's bigger, okay, because you have players now from all over the world. Basketball gave me a chance to live, learn, and respect the game. I couldn't travel all over the world if it weren't for not just the Boston Celtics winning a championship, not for just playing 14 years, but the resources and making connection with people. They love what you do. And I do more clinics now and more fundamental stuff with the younger kids. The only thing that helped me was I had Bob Cousy, who was a backcourt marvel, okay, had me run a team. So it was really easy for me to make that adjustment. Now, if I were a forward or a center and I played in the era with Bob, you was a rebounder and you block shots and you get your behind down the court and there's certain areas where you're going to get the ball. But now you got guys 7 foot tall kind of taking your spot. They shooting threes.
That's right.
It's not that much of a, to me, a post-up game anymore. And I like the versatility in the players because hey, you guarding me, you giving me problems. I give it to a 6'9", 6'10 guy. I'm running the floor, and transition is a beautiful thing when a guy's chasing you and you ahead of him and you can score or you have an opportunity to score. So the game of basketball is moving so fast. Guys are jumping higher. You know, they're coming out younger, which I disagree. Okay, I really disagree. I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I disagree with that. I think guys should think about options in their life because, you know, when I was younger than them, because some of the guys that y'all have there are in the NBA. I'm in high school, college. I think when I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, man, I could do this forever. Forever That's came right. real fast when I didn't make my high school team.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Michael. I got to ask you this, Nate, if you don't mind. You got James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Okay, you're the only one in NBA history to lead the league in points and assists in the same year. Are one of those guys going to do it? What do you think of those two guys and their game? Is either one of them similar to the way that you played? And how do you view those two? And do you think it'll be done again? What you did?
We played different. They did what they call a sign-in card show in Houston and. That night we went to the game. Houston played Phoenix. He plays a different game, but it doesn't matter. He handles the ball. I'm talking about James. He handles the ball 75% of the time. He bought into if you look back in the records, Mike D'Antoni and Nate Archibald were teammates at Kansas City. Okay,
So you can call. You can call on your old buddy and say, hey. Slow James down. I want to hold on to that record.
No. We talked about it because he has his, I call it pregame ritual. So we kind of talked about it. He said, what do you think? I said, he's bigger. He's stronger. And I said, Mike, I said, I'd love when they got you. He said, why? I said, because you played all the defense, bro. I had to play nobody. I had to guard nobody. He said, but T, I couldn't score. I said, that's the difference between the team that he's with or the team that he has opposed to the team that we had. We had veteran guys. And he's taking it – both of them are taking it upon their shoulders to prove to people that, first of all, we can run a team. We can get other people involved. Because when James first was with OKC, I thought he was just a scorer. But my man, I'm just telling you, I thought he could shoot, he could score.
Right.
But he bought into the philosophy – of Mike D'Antoni, look up the floor, get guys involved. Those guys might not be as good as you, but they could put the ball to the basket. So he is in a better situation than Westbrook. I'm gonna give you my take on Westbrook. He plays harder. He doesn't have the shot like James does. James has a hell of a shot. I could not shoot like that, okay? But Westbrook, to me, is probably the hardest driving guy going to the basket. He's challenging everybody. That's how I play. The unfortunate thing is he doesn't have the same supporting cast as James. I watched the game, and when they played against Phoenix, 47 points. He had 8-9 rebounds, you know, maybe 9-10 assists. Played less minutes. If you roll the record books back, I led the league in not just scoring and assists, but minutes played. My body after that year broke down. Okay, but I think these guys are bigger and stronger. The game is different. You know, you're talking about the technology of the shoe. Conditioning is better. Everything is better. You got to take care of your body. And I think both of them are not looking to break a record. They're up there. And if you look at the guys that usually lead the league in assists or scoring, they dominate and they control the tempo and they have the ball in their hands.
Man, this is good stuff. Stay right there. Nate Tiny Archibald joining us here on the program. Love the energy. Love the passion. We'll have more with Tiny here in a moment. But Magic fans, you can cheer on the Magic as they battle Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs on Wednesday, February 15th. Be there live at Amway Center for one of the biggest matchups of the season. Buy your tickets for the Magic and Spurs at OrlandoMagic.com. That's OrlandoMagic.com. Back with the Hall of Famer, 50 Greatest, Nate Tiny Archibald, when we return to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, here on 96.9 The Game.
Introducing an all-new Orlando Magic Fast Break Pass, the Papa John's Buzzer Beater. Sign up online, get texts, and buy last-minute Magic tickets at the best prices, all from your smartphone, all season long.
Blocked by Vucevic. Big right hand said nope. Knocked it away from him. Never got to the rim.
It's easy. It's free. It's pure magic. The Papa John's buzzer beater. The best pass for Orlando Magic basketball. Sign up now at orlandomagic.com/buzzerbeater.
Welcome back to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic fans, do you want a taco from Tijuana Flats? All you have to do is wear your Magic gear and show up to a Central Florida Tijuana Flats on Wednesdays throughout the season to get a free taco. It's that easy. That's your way to get a free taco from the good folks at Tijuana Flats. Orlando will visit the Miami Heat here tonight. We hit the air at 7 o'clock on Fox Sports Florida, 7 o'clock on the Magic Radio Network. As we return to Nate Tiny Archibald, kind enough to stay with us through the break. I got to ask you, because I was a kid growing up in Boston, and I got to see Tiny Archibald playing with the Celtics, 1981, you win the championship. Can you just let me know your thoughts when you first meet Larry Bird coming to that team, and then what? And then a couple years later, getting your championship in 1981? What Boston meant to you, and especially you, what you remember about Larry Bird?
Well, you know, you hear a lot of things about all the players, you know, and I'm not saying I was a veteran, but I was older than those guys. I was on other teams, and Red Auerbach gave me a chance to be a Celtic before Larry. And I tell people it's the old Western, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Before Larry got there, it was the ugly. And they say, well, what about the good and the bad? No, it became better. Not ugly better, but it became better because Larry, Kevin, and Robert brought a different dimension to the team, especially Larry, because, you know, you know people throw stuff out on guys, can't run, can't jump. I'm saying, can't shoot. And I'm saying, are they talking about this guy who I'm in practice? And, you know, you heard about practice. You know, guys always talk about practice. You talking about practice?
Right. Right.
Practice brings a different dimension, and you get to familiarize yourself with your players and also personnel. In practice, he proved that he could do all that stuff. So I tell people, I looked at this exit sign. Nate Archibald was walking out this exit. They was coming in the entrance sign, and I was blessed, okay, that Red Auerbach gave me a chance to play with, to me, the best front line in basketball. It wasn't any more guessing after practice because I knew that he could do a lot of things. And, you know, people say, well, you was the point person. No, you were the decision maker. You passed the ball to the right people, especially Larry, and you know what? He made things happen. He was, to me, the best player I ever played with, and he had a, you know, workman's you don't talk about competitive nature in him. And I tell people, I know Larry. If Larry Bird, and Larry don't talk about it, if Larry Bird didn't hurt his back, Larry Bird would have still, not now, but it would have still been playing in the NBA. But he couldn't give it 1,000% anymore, so he decided to, you know, I got to leave this game, even though I don't want to. And, you know, the NBA slogan is, I love this game. He loved the competition. He loved the competitiveness. And everybody who plays with him or plays against him says the same thing. Man, that guy, he was a professor of basketball.
Did he? What were your early conversations like with those guys? You knew right away that I'm going to facilitate, decision maker, I'm going to set guys up, put them in the spot to be the most successful. But you were the perfect piece for that team, Tiny, to put that all together, to be the guy to run the show and facilitate and get those guys in the right spots and when called upon and when necessary, you could score when you needed to.
Yeah, well, I couldn't score like I did early on. And like I said, I was blessed to be in that situation. After me, Dennis Johnson, you know, continued that role. Larry didn't have to say that much, okay? He would listen, and then if he disagreed with you, he would tell you, no, that, you know that play, that XYZ play that coach said we's going to run? We ain't running that. Just give me the ball and get out the way. And that's all he had to say because you putting the ball in somebody's hand, it's like E.F. Hutton, okay, in New York, or – you know, when you go to Kentucky, you talk about the Mint. That's how good he was. That's how great he was. But Larry was a guy that never gave up, never gave you an inch, and you was guarding him, and you say, I could contain him. I could guard him. He ain't going to score. He would figure it out like a professor, dissect you like Mike and Magic, okay, and next thing you know, you're puzzled again. How did he do that? And, you know, when you're talking about professors, there's only a couple of them that I come to right now, and I know I'm going to get a knock from people, but I look at Magic as changing the game because of his size, and I look at Michael. Michael's 6'7", 6'8". Michael Jordan's not 6'7", 6'8". He might have played that big, okay? But right. He had the competitive nature in him that you're not going to beat me.
Oh, that's good stuff. Well, Tiny, I can't thank you enough. This has been a pleasure, a treat for me to listen to you, and I love your energy. I love your passion, and I love the work you're doing with kids. The game needs it. The game needs the fundamentals. The game needs the intelligence, the education part of it that you're so passionate about. So I commend you for how your work continues to go even beyond your playing days.
Well, I'm glad to be on your show, and I hope that everybody's listening. It's about our kids, boys and girls, young men, young ladies, go to school, higher education, be a student athlete.
All right, terrific advice from one of the best. I appreciate Tiny, and we're going to have an All-Star game down here in Orlando, and I'd love nothing more than to meet you then. Maybe by then you'll be golfing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, you got it. You got it. There you go. Nate Tiny Archibald, kind enough to spend some time to join us here on the program, and what a treat it was. There you go. This is a guy that led the NBA points and assists, and we have a couple of guys that are in the running right now with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. It was great to get his thoughts on that, great to get his thoughts on his time with the Boston Celtics and what that meant to him and playing with the Big Three. And love his passion, his vigor, and he's doing, you got to look it up, he's doing tremendous work, really as an NBA ambassador, but certainly up in the Northeast and in his native New York, working with kids, teaching them the importance of education and fundamentals and what you can learn alongside the game of basketball. So hope you enjoyed it. What a way to kick off Legends Week here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. We look forward to having you back here tomorrow. Coming up later in the week, we're going to have Dikembe Mutombo, we're going to have Dave Collins, and a couple of other surprise guests. So stay with us here, 5:30, 96.9 The Game, Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center.